This is Digital Story Podcast number 666, December 18th, 2018. Today's theme is A Visit to Moms. I'm Derek Story. Every year at this time, I like to talk about the importance of photography during family gatherings. This year, instead of just discussing it, I'm bringing you along to a visit at my mom's house in Southern California. We're going to ask her about the importance of family, photography, and staying in touch with your roots. I hope you enjoy the show. There is 8 hours of highway between my mom's house and mine. I don't make the trek as often as I should, and she'll probably mention that during our chat. But seeing her is very important to me, and I look forward to our visits. I thought listening to her perspective about holidays and family would be interesting to the family historians in our listening audience. I hope you enjoy our visit, sitting around the family table that I've known since childhood. Once we finish chatting with her, I'll come back for more news and a little virtual camera club business. So, first of all, Mom, thanks for sitting down with me and talking about, we're going to talk about family holidays and gatherings.
We don't do this very often.
We don't, no. In fact, I was telling somebody that, we don't do it often enough, which I was thinking, my mom is surely going to remind me of that. You know, that.
No. I know you as you are.
And, you know, that's part of it. That's what we were talking about. Yes. You know, in terms of family getting along is sort of accepting everyone for how they are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what they don't do today, which is sad.
So I think I told you this story a little bit yesterday, and we were talking a little bit about it. And I wanted to revisit it when I went over to my neighbor's house to drop off the keys. And it was saying that I'm going to go visit my mom, and my brother and my sister's going to be there. And that, you know, I was really looking forward to seeing everyone and in one spot at my mom's house. And he's saying, you know, I wish our family did that. Our family just doesn't do that much. And you and I were talking about it. And it's amazing how often we hear that families have a hard time getting together.
I hear it a lot also.
So what do you think is behind that, these days? Because that wasn't always the case, right?
No. Well, of course, I came up in the 50s, which was a much simpler time. But families lived in the same city, worked in the same city. They were in close proximity, and therefore, they had more opportunity. Now, our family is spread out all over the United States. I have children in Texas, Arizona, Northern California, grandchildren in Hawaii, Arizona, Texas, and yet we managed to get together.
Yes.
So you need to make the effort.
And I think that's it. I think every family has to have, you know, one or two people that are willing to kind of, you know, put it out there and say, you know, let's meet here, you know, at Christmas, or meet here at Thanksgiving, or whatever the holiday happens to be. In our family, it's you and my sister, right?
Yes.
You know, Daylene and you are kind of the two people that pull that together.
And Daylene gets that from me.
She does.
And I get it from my mother. And it comes down family lines a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
My family was very close. My mother's family was Swedish, and the Swedish people tend to be very close, and they always got together. So that siphoned down to me, and it siphoned down to my daughter, and the boys just kind of follow along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's so true. So, you know, one thing I have noticed about our family gatherings, as opposed to some that I've heard, is that we don't have a lot of arguments.
We never have arguments.
And what do you think that is? What do you think is behind that?
We accept each other for what they are, and they are all different. My three children have gone in very different directions, you being a writer, an author, a photographer. My daughter works with handicapped adults, and donated much time to wildlife and wetlands, mm-hmm. working with wounded animals. So she works with wounded people and wounded animals. And you all said your brother was going to be a used car salesman. Actually, he's close. He owns car rental companies in northern Arizona. And he rents cars.
He does. And, you know, my younger brother is, his name's Darren. He's 11 years younger than me. And we have some funny stories about finding out about that you know, from Mom. But, you know, Darren is probably one of the harder working people that I know personally. I mean, he and he's a real people person, too, isn't he?
And that's got him where he is.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I don't think Darren can walk into a room and have people be strangers for more than 5 minutes.
No.
Yeah.
And he just turned 50 and has 3 grandchildren.
He does, and he loves it.
So he started out young.
Yeah.
He absolutely loves children and adores his grandchildren, and that is his life. But my children all have their own lives, their own families, children of their own, that they need to spend holidays with. So this year, we spent our holiday a week before Christmas.
We
all got together and had our Christmas the week before Christmas so everyone could be with their families at Christmas.
And that's kind of that flexibility that you were talking about, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you've got to be flexible.
Mm-hmm. So how is it for you now? Because, you know, I know when we were younger, the holidays were such a workout. I mean, you were just, I remember you just being exhausted during the holidays. Because you're holding down a full-time job.
Yes.
And running a house at
yes.
the same time, right? And, you know, we had Dad here, but let's be honest, he was a great dad, but he wasn't very useful for these sort of things, right?
He was a good sitter.
He was a good sitter, yes. So tell me a little bit about, let's say when Delia and I were like, you know, 10, 12 years old, what were the holidays like for you in those days? And then, you know, kind of compared to now.
Well, all of our family loves people, and I love people. And I made cookies for all our neighbors. And I decorated cans to put the cookies in. So I sometimes bake till 1 in the morning, making cookies to give to our neighbors. And I still do that. But that was important to me
mm-hmm.
because my neighbors were important to me. And my friends were important to me. I make shirts for my friends. And so the holidays, to me, was a time to show appreciation, not only to my family, but to my friends and my neighbors.
And that's where, I mean, isn't that when you started the tradition of, like, an open house on, was it Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And that was not just for family. That was for basically people you worked with, neighbors.
A lot of friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And the bad thing was, I prepared a big buffet, mm-hmm. and a lot of the friends didn't leave till 11, 12 o'clock. And then we had children's toys to put together.
That's right.
Which was usually till 2 in the morning.
Right.
And then we had Christmas dinner mm-hmm. on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very busy time.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, exhausting, really, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, yeah. But as challenging as it could be, just energy-wise and everything, it was something that you stuck to it year after year. I mean, it seemed like for instance, when we were teenagers, it would have been easy to say, we're going to dial it back a little bit this mm-hmm. year. But I don't remember that ever happening.
Nope, never happened. Never happened. Because in one sense, it was exhausting, but it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus left us with a commandment to love one another.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think of at Christmas,
mm-hmm.
to love one another. Not just your family, but your friends and your neighbors and all those around you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Christmas is.
So one of the things we were talking about, by the way, Mom and I just got back from seeing Bohemian Rhapsody together.
Yes, and it was great.
It was great. And it also made for some good conversation, which is, you know, not only, you know, we're talking about Freddie Mercury's life and, you know, how here we have this talented individual who has, you know, some flaws. And we're talking about, you know, your husband's, my father, who may he rest in peace now, a year later, who was a great dad, but who also, you know, he had some flaws too.
He had some flaws.
And how, you know, part of keeping things together is learning how, as you said, is to see the whole person and not just focus on
right.
the flaws.
When, and there are difficult times. We were married 63 years. Mm-hmm. I was 18 and he was 20. And so we had some difficult times. And he didn't have a real happy childhood. And I came from a dysfunctional family. So we maybe came into marriage with a little baggage. But I learned to weigh the good against the bad. And the good always outweighs the bad. Mm-hmm. But you've got to stick in there. Mm-hmm. You can't leave when all of a sudden you have a bad spell and you're mm-hmm. through. Mm-hmm. You have to stick it out. And that's what we did.
And, you know, and I think that's interesting because I think that, you know, the growing up that you had to do during marriage that, you know, anyone does who's married, I think that helped you with us, too, because I know, for instance, I wasn't the easiest kid, right?
You actually were the easiest of the three.
Was I really?
Yes.
That surprises me.
Yeah.
But I know there was a period, especially during my 20s, where you're wondering, what is this kid doing with his life? You know, he doesn't want to go the normal path.
Yeah, that was a little unnerving.
Yeah, yeah. And you, as a parent, you just have to, I guess, just trust and just, what, keep loving, right?
And support.
And support, that's right.
When you went a direction to be a musician, mm-hmm. I wasn't real happy
right.
because I knew they had a tough life. Mm-hmm. And they're in against the drug culture and mm-hmm. all that. But I still supported you.
You did.
Because I knew you had talent. You wanted to write the music rather than play it. And I thought, well, maybe you had a future there. But in my heart, I knew that wasn't your future.
No.
And you know your children well enough to know, well, yeah, this may be interesting now, mm-hmm. but it's not what they're meant to be.
I remember you made it to quite a few of our shows.
I absolutely did.
Yeah.
And the young men asked me to dance.
That's great, yes.
I was a young mother, though.
Yes, you were. You were. By the way, she in her day, she was a very handsome young woman, for sure. And you have aged quite well, I might add.
So. Well, I thank you.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, that, but, you know, that patience, knowing, just trusting that your kids are going to find their way and trying not to meddle, I mean, that must take a lot of discipline on one level.
Well, it does. But when my sister's daughter graduated, she had a banner on the table that I remembered then and will always remember is, you must love them enough to let them go. Mm-hmm. And that is really the byword. Mm-hmm. When they grow up, they're going to go their own way, wherever that may be, whether it's in Hawaii or in Texas or wherever. But you've got to love them enough to let them find their future, wherever that may be.
Mm-hmm. So now now the holidays are a little bit different, right? Even though you did put out quite a spread last night, I have to say. It was quite
well,
good.
Not what I used to do.
But, you know, so now, you know, with the passage of time, do you see the family gatherings differently? Do you kind of sit back and look and, wow, look, we pulled this off? Yeah. I mean, what are some of the feelings that you have now?
Well, different and yet not. Mm-hmm. When you and your sister and your brother got together and you hadn't seen each other for over a year, mm-hmm. it was just like old times, like you didn't miss a beat. And you went for your walk and you were laughing and joking and teasing each other, and it's just like it always was. And that's how it should be.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up, because that crossed my mind too, not only this time, but almost every time that we get together. So they're here more than I am. And then, you know, I definitely try to get down when I can. But it's interesting, even though I'm the one that doesn't come as often, I have to tell you, the minute I see them, just like you said, or the minute I see you or anything, it's like no time has passed.
Yes, it always is.
It's fascinating to me. It's really
because basically we're a close family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is what so many families are missing today.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel they're missing probably the best parts of their life.
Boy, I have to agree with that. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned our walks that we always take after dinner, the three kids. So one of the things that we do on the walk is we just go, okay, how are we doing? You know, like, are we doing okay with each other? And we check in. And, you know, of course, the first thing I always do is thank Daylene for everything that she does and thank Darren for everything that he does. But then we also make sure that we're on the same page about all the, you know, all the family things that are going on. Because the one thing that's important to us is that we stay united.
Yes.
And I think if we stay united, you know, we can continue, you know, I don't know, just to have these kind of relationships that we're talking about.
Yes, and that's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what so many people are missing.
Mm-hmm.
And family is still probably the most important thing in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you let that relationship dissolve, you're missing a good part of your life.
Yeah. So do the holidays, do you ever feel any sadness during the holidays or anything like that? Or is it, you know, is there mixed feelings during the holidays, or is it mostly
this
mostly
Christmas
good?
And last Christmas?
Yeah.
Again, I was married 63 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I miss my husband.
Yeah.
It gets better as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But you always have that. And being 83 years old, most of my friends have died.
Mm-hmm.
So I not only miss my husband, I miss my friends and all the good times we had. But the important thing is to build good memories.
Yes.
Because you always have your memories.
Yes. And, you know, I'm really glad you brought that up, because, you know, that's what I always try to do on the show this time of year. Because whether you're lucky enough to get to hang out with family, or it's friends, or it's neighbors, you know, whoever it happens to be, you know, most of the people that listen to the show are the historians in their world. They're the ones that take the pictures, that, you know, keep the diaries, that write the notes and all that kind of stuff. And I know Dad was a very good historian.
Yes.
You know, he
family tree.
Family tree. And you know, I have two of us, Trish and I both have, you know, all of that content, you know, from him. And I think it's important to do things like, you know, do the family group shot. You know, we all have photos in all of our houses you know, previous family events. Making sure you do the family group shot. Making sure you share those pictures with other people in the family. If you're a writer, make sure you write some of this stuff up. And make sure that, you know, these things that happen, you know, we can record them. Because, you know, my kids will probably be of interest to them later on, and their kids and so on and so forth.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Pictures are important
because
I don't have my family here, but I have pictures of my husband and myself. I have pictures of all you kids. They're all displayed very prominently, and I always have that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this might sound like a silly question, but do you take moments where you just, like, look at the pictures? I mean, are there moments where you just stop and take a look at a picture that you've maybe walked by a thousand times? Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
And I've got one that was taken, I think, 35 years ago that's on my desk that is all of our family. You are a young, handsome man. Mm-hmm. You were in college.
Mm-hmm.
It's our whole family, my brother and sister and sister's children, and it's a lovely picture, and I look at that every day.
It's funny, we have that picture on the mantle at our place, too. Yeah, and I scanned that picture because I think that picture needs to survive.
Yes.
We did that in Fresno or something, wasn't it?
No, we did it in Redlands.
In Redlands.
Yes.
In Redlands at Bill and Sharon's, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Sharon being your sister.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it was one that was taken where you set the camera on a time release and then run in place.
Yeah.
And so it was taken very quickly.
It was. It was. And we always make kind of a thing about me because I'm sort of this, you know, gangly person trying to get back into the picture. Yeah. Just one more question before we wrap this up. And, you know, we mentioned your sister and your brother. Now, you guys have maintained a pretty good relationship over the years, too.
Very close.
Yeah.
Very close.
Yeah.
My sister lives in Redlands. Mm-hmm. My brother in Huntington Beach. Mm-hmm. And since Dad died, they watch over me very closely.
Yeah.
And I took care of them. They're 10 and 11 years younger than I am. And I took care of them when they were little children. Mm-hmm. My mother worked. And now they kind of take care of me. At least they watch over me.
They do.
And anything I need, they are here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really great.
Again, close family.
Yeah. Mom, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you sitting down and sharing these thoughts with all of us. You know, you just shared these thoughts with, you know, 50,000 people.
Yeah.
So I hope you're okay with that.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
And I hope they get to thinking about how important family is.
Yeah.
Because it is very important.
That's great. Merry Christmas, Mom. I love you.
Merry Christmas to you. I love you.
All right. So that's my mom, and I hope you love her as much as I do. I thought she had some really good points. And I just loved spending time with her and actually having her on the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it as well. The Portfolio Box Inspirational Photographer. I have another great photographer for you this week. This is an Italian photographer, and wow, is he terrific. So what I'm doing is that every week during the month of December, I want to do something inspirational around Portfolio Box, either featuring a photographer that I think has done something really well, or talk about some training or some tips, you know, just something so we can go, wow, I really want to do this. I really want to have my own portfolio site. So this week, I have a great photographer. His name is Luigi Quattro, and he is at luigiquattro.com. Of course, I have the link in the show notes. He uses photography as a means of expression to represent concepts, feelings, and moods. And the images are just wonderful. And what's really neat about his site, he has a wonderful opening page, a wonderful splash page that I want you to take a look at. And then he has some different topics. And there's not a whole lot of imagery in each topic, which is, you know, that's kind of something that struck me where, you know, I go to one area and there are maybe 2, 3, 4 images. In another area, there may be 6. Now, when he gets into some of his commercial work, which is outstanding, he has food photography in his commercial work and he has interior architecture photography. You need to take a look at both of those. They're so clean. And then he has some self-expression photography, and there are more shots in that area. All of his work is outstanding, in my opinion, and really refreshing. I mean, when I was looking at these pages, I was going, this is exciting. This is something, you know, that I, you know, wish I had a little bit more of this in my photography, you know, that kind of feeling. And then, of course, I want you to take a look at the site itself, how he has used Portfolio Box, you know, to convey these images, to share these images with you. He writes about Portfolio Box that it has a modern design that I like a lot and it's very easy to use. It's really a great platform to open your personal website, and I so agree with that. You can have your own Portfolio Box site, and if you want to do this, I suggest that you start on the tile that's on all the pages of the digital story or use the link in the show notes. You can use that to set up your free site, but the reason why you want to go that route is that if you decide to get a Portfolio Box Pro site, then you will save 20% off the annual $83 price. And so that's a nice little savings. And remember, for that $83, not only do you get a Pro site, not only do you get all the Portfolio Box tools, you get your own custom domain name. For instance, www. luigiquattro.com. So take a visit over to our landing page, take a look at what Portfolio Box has to offer, and definitely take a look at Luigi's site. Really terrific photography, really wonderful presentation. And this is the kind of stuff that I want a lot of us to be doing here in this photography community. Portfolio Box, and a big thanks to them for sponsoring this week's show. Luminar with Libraries releases today. Wow. Boy, was that a long haul, wasn't it? I thought it was going to be out in April. We got it out in December. It's out today. If you already own Luminar 2018, then you are eligible for the free upgrade. I haven't actually done the commercial upgrade yet. I was a beta tester, so I got to tick the beta stuff off, and then I'll do the commercial upgrade. Plus, I've been on the road to my mom's house. So, you know, there's always that, too. But I think it's very exciting, and this coming weekend, we're going to have the Nimble Classroom on Luminar with Libraries, and then I'm going to offer more training after that, so stay tuned. I'm also working on a title for lynda.com and for LinkedIn Learning on Luminar with Libraries, so stay tuned for news about that. But right now, the main thing is, if you are a Luminar user, make sure that you get the new version, watch the training videos that they have on their site, get familiar with this, and then in future weeks, we'll talk more about it and figure out how to leverage this new tool that we have from Skylum Software. I've booked our accommodations for the Joshua Tree Workshop this coming March, and I have this wonderful place called the Adobe Rockpile. This is going to be a phenomenal event. We're going to be in the high desert in the spring. We're hoping for wildflowers. We've got a terrific place to stay, both in the field. We have a campsite inside a Joshua tree. And then we have this wonderful facility where we're going to live and do our lab work and our headquarters and have many of our meals. If you want to be a part of this, just click on the link in the show notes, the workshops sign-up page. Go over there. All you have to do is place a deposit. And if you like high desert photography, if you want a chance at wildflowers in the desert in the spring, if you want to hang out with your fellow photographers in a very comfortable and unique setting, if you like night photography in the desert, all those sort of things, come out and join us. All the information is there on the workshop sign-up page. Join us this coming March. Inner Circle members, we are going to award our Night Shot honoree here in just a day or so. I'm so happy that so many of you participated. Some really wonderful shots. I might do a roll-up that not only has our featured photographer, but a couple other shots that I thought were really good. So stay tuned to your Patreon page for more news on that. And then we're going to have another photo challenge after that, which I think you'll also enjoy a lot. Big thanks to our Patreon members, our Inner Circle members, for supporting the show. They're the backbone of this podcast, and I appreciate each and every one of you who are helping to keep the show on the air. And finally, a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper, the longest-running sponsor of The Digital Story. They have, of course, fantastic printing paper, tutorials, reviews. Really, it is inkjet heaven, and all you have to do to get started is click on the tile that runs on every page of The Digital Story. That'll take you to our landing page. And don't forget about their Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. A big thanks to them for supporting the show, and a big thanks to them for supporting the printing community. I hope you enjoyed the chat with my mom. I hope you found it both entertaining and educational. I'm working on some more stuff for next week. As always, some exciting stuff. So make sure that you join me. I might have a surprise for you next week that not very many people know is coming. So come back and join me. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.